we need you, Lord. Oh, we need you. Bless us in this hour and help us come to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks to everyone who's bringing gifts to these mornings, and these scripture readings have just opened my heart and mind and stirred me in ways I never could have imagined. But today we get to the most controversial of the three Pentecostal signs, the gift of languages. I want to talk a little bit about my experience of tongues. You know, the Apostle Paul said, "I thank God that I speak with tongues more than all of you." And I'm not sure that I can say that because I don't know your devotional life, but I bet I'm one of the more active tongue speakers in the room here. But that's not always been the case. If I can go back to the context in which I grew up, it was a very dispensational evangelical environment. And tongues were thought to have been over with once the biblical record was closed, the canon was closed, the apostolic era was over. And, you know, I think that the context where I grew up, I think even though we had, of course, had fires in our city and had hurricanes blow through and blow things down, I think my friends and fellow worshipers feared tongues more than hurricanes or fires. And then one day in high school, I began to have some Assembly of God friends and Pentecostal friends, and the Charismatic Renewal, this is in the 60s to give you context, the Charismatic Renewal is sweeping across Texas and across the country. And some friends of mine tell me, "Hey, you could be filled with the Holy Spirit and empowered, and the way you'll know when that happens is you'll speak in tongues." So I went to my YFC director, Roy Glasscock, who's been a mentor my whole life since I was about 15 years old. And I said, "Roy, these people told me that I could be filled with the Holy Spirit, and if I did, I would be empowered, and the way I would know that happened is I would speak in tongues. Is that true?" And I was just very trusting, naive. I mean, all I had was the fear that I'd grown up with and thinking that it probably was an indication of demon possession. And Roy gave me the wisest answer, one of the wisest answers to any question I've ever asked. "Daryl, the gift of the Holy Spirit is abundantly available. And yes, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. I have been filled with the Holy Spirit." And he said, "And tongues is a wonderful gift. All the gifts of the Spirit are wonderful things." But he said, "The way you'll know the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit, the way you know that if you're full of the Holy Spirit, is you'll be easy to get along with. You'll be easy to live with." Roy wisely dodged a theological briar patch and answered a theological question with a heart answer. And it gave me context for thinking of the gifts in relation and in the context of the fruit of the Spirit. Languages are at least as powerful a force as wind and fire. A few years ago, Harold Best spoke at our seminar here, and I hope I won't misquote him this morning, but he was very dynamic and very powerful. And he asked the question, "What is culture? What is culture?" And the way I think I remember him answering it, he said, "Culture consists of what a society imagines and makes." What a society imagines and makes. If you look up definitions of culture anywhere, it's interesting, there'll be a list of things always given, and they include those distinctives of any people group of language, religion, cuisine, social habits, music, arts, but language is almost always first. It's almost always first. It is such an important thing and tool in how we imagine and then how we execute what we build. For many years, I thought that Pentecost was a remedy for Babel. That we got spanked at Babel, and all this confusion happened, and then that got reversed and remedied at Pentecost. But I've begun to think that Pentecost is rather the completion of what happened at Babel. And if you think about the Lord's discipline in your life, if you think about His correction, it's always intended as a source of blessing, a gateway into good things. And I believe God intended Babel to be a gateway into good things. Because we stopped doing this monolithic thing, look at us, and we segmented into people groups, and languages began to form, and culture began to form. It's hard for me to think of great art makers and great thinkers outside their language context. I was just overwhelmed in Spain a number of years ago seeing the architecture of Gaudi. Those buildings take my breath away. It's hard for me to imagine Gaudi having originated, grown, and having done that in any language other than Spanish. It's hard for me to imagine Shakespeare having created the beauty and the work that he did outside of the English language. It's hard for me to imagine Tchaikovsky and Mussorgsky composing what they composed had they not grown up with their Slavic language orientation in their culture. I love the contemporary Christian art of, I hope I say it correctly, the Chinese artist He Qi. Just brilliant. Could he have done that? Could he have grown into that kind of art making had he not grown up in the language context that he was? What about jazz, the uniquely American music form? Could it have happened anywhere else other than a melting pot where people who had come out of slavery, the horrors of that, with the burdens of that, and the heart cry that showed up in jazz? I just don't think it could have originated anywhere else. And then we begin to share those things with one another, and we touch one another, and rather than doing that monolithic thing that happened at Babel, we begin to celebrate each other's gifts and welcome each other's orientations. You can go on and on. Could Einstein have done what he did had he not come out of a German language-speaking culture? That's what shaped his mind and his thinking. A brief story about my daughter, Chelsea, and I've told this here a number of years ago. I can't remember how long. Chelsea was in second or third grade, and we lived in a neighborhood that was amazing. It was a less than 50% Anglo. This is in Houston, Texas. The next 25-30% were about equally African American and Latino. And then the next 25 or so percent were various Asian groups, Vietnamese, Filipino, etc. And I loved it. Our kids were playing with kids of various colors and language orientations, and when they went to their house, they might sample some food they'd never tasted before. It was a great, great experience, enriching. Chelsea went to a birthday party one day. Birthday girl was named Hong. And I dropped Chelsea off a few blocks over to the birthday party. And I wasn't home very long from dropping her off till the phone rang. Chelsea's choking back tears. "Daddy, can you come get me?" And I'm thinking, "Wow, have you hurt yourself? What's happened?" And as I'm driving back to pick her up, I say, "Yeah, I'll be right there." Driving back to get her, I flashed on the picture when I dropped her off. They were all Vietnamese faces, little children in that front lawn, except for Chelsea. And I asked her, "Chelsea, was everybody speaking another language, not speaking English?" And she said, "Yeah." She felt so alienated, so excluded. I began to just explain to her, they weren't trying to exclude you. They were just communicating as they knew how to communicate with each other most comfortably. I said, that's what we do to people for whom English is not a native language. Chelsea felt alienated. And we do that to each other all the time. She felt alienated. But what began to happen that day, although the enemy meant to build a barrier in her where she would feel excluded and build walls, because of the working of the Spirit of God in our relationship and a few words of understanding, her horizons got broadened. Chelsea is 35 or so now. And as she's gone through university, as she's lived in Miami, in Boston, in Atlanta, as she's worked for the Ritz-Carlton hotel chain, she has had more international friends, more non-Anglo friends, than just about anybody I know. And I think it's because what the enemy meant for her alienation, God turned it around to build a unity, a sense of unity, a sense of grace, a sense of welcoming. Some of us are called to be evangelists. Not all, some, but we are all called to evangelize. We are all called to good news eyes everywhere we go. We're not all going to receive the gift of languages, but God empowers us by His Spirit, all of us, to communicate to others, reach out and touch others in languages that they can understand. Sometimes it's just a smile. Sometimes it's just a gesture. Sometimes it's learning one or two words in their language. It might be an ethnic language. It might be a musical language. It might be the nomenclature of homeschooling. It might be the nomenclature of architecture, of a firing range, of shooting. It could be any kind of language. By God's grace, may His Spirit enable us to have hearts filled with compassion and a heart to reach out to others in the language they can understand.